is that the new masters of the lower kingdom had imposed on the citizens had slowly, year after year, stripped them of their finely crafted necklaces, their bracelets and rings, their anklets and pendants, until the finery that Zhao Ah remembered from his youth had seemed like something from a Shemshemet dream. But now, the mighty Lord Taita, with the armies of Upper Egypt and Sparta behind him, had routed the barbarians and driven them back into the east. This was how the first nome of Lower Egypt, Inhebu Hedj, which contained both Memphis and the great monuments, had come under the authority of the god Pharaoh Ramesses, and how Pi of Thebes had been appointed nomarch of the city of the White Walls. Zhao Ah put his reed brush between his teeth and chewed, reworking the writing tip, savoring the familiar sooty taste of the ink. Every day, caravans protected by the nomarch's loyal soldiers poured into the city, carting valuables reclaimed from across Lower Egypt. Zhao Ah smiled at the thought of being asked to catalogue the riches of Memphis as they were returned and unloaded into the newly constructed city vault. It was a great honor, recognition of his standing as the city's longest-serving administrator. But to Zhao Ah, however, it was more than just an honor. It was as if he were returning the city's dignity, handing his beloved Memphis a gossamer gown of cloth and gold embroidered with precious stones that would make her once again what she had been in his childhood, enduring and beautiful. The scribe wrinkled his nose and sighed. He knew that the nomarch was a far better man than many of the previous governors whom Zhao Ah had served, but he was also unrelenting and joyless. He mourned a Cushite woman who had died during his battle to protect the city from a Hyksos sorcerer. Zhao Ah hadn't known the Cushite, nor did he know the circumstances of her death, though he had heard rumors of that dreadful day. But it was obvious to everyone that grief consumed the nomarch. He poured himself into the reconstruction of the city and drove his laborers relentlessly. It was as if he was determined to turn all of Memphis into a memorial for his lost love. Zhao Ah glanced at the treasures piled around him, glimmering in the light of his oil lamp. Gold ingots stacked up to the ceiling, piles of sparkling jewels, silver chalices, ornate shields of gold and bronze, all waiting to be catalogued and employed in the restoration of the city. Returning his eyes to his papyrus, Zhao Ah dipped his brush into his inkwell. As he did so, the flame of his lamp flickered and swayed to one side, before returning to its upright position. The scribe paused and observed the flame as a creeping sense of alarm prickled his skin. He had worked inside the vastness of the vault alone for 5 consecutive days, and not once had he seen the flame bend. Zhao Ah glanced back in the direction of the great stone doors to see if the guards had opened them, though he did not know how they could have done so without him hearing. As he suspected, the doors remained shut. The vault could only be opened from the outside, so all he could see through the shadows were a pair of flat slabs, discernible only by their sheer size relative to the smaller, precisely cut blocks of masonry around them. The vault had been completed only 6 days earlier, constructed for the very purpose it now served. It was impregnable, Zhao Ah reminded himself. He took a deep breath and then exhaled, allowing the tension that had built up in his neck and shoulders to travel down his arms and out through his fingers as he flexed them, then returned his attention to his work. But again, his focus was disrupted by the dimming of the lamp flame. It was as if it was shrinking in fear. Zhao Ah began to feel that something was watching him from the darkness. He put down his brush and the papyrus on the flagstones and picked up the lamp. Standing, he raised the flame aloft at the end of rigid, quivering arms and peered into the depths of the vault, his eyes straining to reassure him that he remained alone with his task. It was not so. To Zhao Ah's astonishment,